You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. You don't want to miss today's broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. If you have school-aged children, and if you know anybody who has school-aged children who are not listening, you want to call them on the telephone right now. Tell them to tune in to 101.1 FM Eager in the Round Valley of Arizona. And wherever you're at in the rest of the world, tune in to 9.955 megahertz worldwide shortwave radio. And eventually we will have this broadcast featured on one of our Real Audio websites on the internet. If you would if you have internet access and you'd like to check out our web pages, where you could literally spend weeks, and that's no exaggeration, ladies and gentlemen, go to http://harvest-trust.org. That's harvest-trust.org. If you want to put in the www, you can, but you don't need it. Tonight's broadcast is entitled The New School Masters. And folks, if you love your children, make sure that you hear every word of this broadcast.
Never in human history has so few taken so much from so many as America's Illuminati and their warlords of Wall Street and Washington. In just 8 years, these gangsters and international government gangsters took us from the greatest creditor nation to the largest debtor nation on Earth. Our standard of living has dropped like a rock for 4 out of every 5 Americans. They have foreclosed on our homes, our farms, our factories. They've exported your jobs and surrendered our arms.
They want a new world order. A new world order. A new world order. A new world order.
The Illuminati wants you to be a slave from birth to grave. The banksters own the Federal Reserve. It's private. They own it. It's neither federal nor a reserve. The cashists make that fiat funny money stuff you call dollars for 2 pennies. They lend it back to us at full face value. Then charge you interest. You get the debt. They get the interest. They get the gold. You get the debt.
They want it.
A new world order. A new world order. A new world order. It is a big idea. A new world order.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, a new world order. This is the age of deception. In case you, for some reason, weren't aware of that. And you need to open your eyes. And if you are ignorant on some subjects, by golly, you had better get the information you need to be able to make yourself well-educated in those subjects. What is it, ladies and gentlemen, that the United States Department of Education, the Marxist Socialist National Education Association, which is a teachers' union, and big business want to do with your children? You see, the Clintons are leading a quiet revolution. for those of us who are watching, and a revolution for those who are not, and it will catch up with you very quickly in public education. Its thrust, ladies and gentlemen, is the transformation from the school's traditional role as the servant of individual pupils and parents to become the servant of industry and the state. Just as in totalitarian countries, students such as these are to have their career paths and curriculum increasingly directed by this shadowy alliance, a shadowy alliance that most of you don't know anything about. Some things have been happening in your schools that you're not quite sure what it means. And I think today we're going to part the curtain and let you take a look. If you've got teachers in your school who are members of the National Education Association, I would advise you strongly, as strong as I can possibly impress upon you, to get those teachers out of your schools. And you'll find out why. You certainly will. Theodore Chen in communist China said, quote, "The primary concern of education is not the acquisition of knowledge, but the remolding of behavior, attitudes, emotions, and thoughts," end quote. When I told you folks over the years that there's a new world order coming, that there's a world government that's being formed, I wasn't just whistling Dixie, so to speak. I was telling you the truth. It's going to be Marxist socialist. So you'd better pay attention to what they've done in communist China, what they've done in Cuba, what they did in the old Soviet Union, because those things will be repeated here. You can shake your head if you want to and talk about the fall of the evil empire. But if you have studied it like I have, you know that whole thing is a deception. Read the book written by Gorbachev. He says it right in there. Read Golitsyn, who was a high-ranking Soviet general who defected to the United States many years ago, warned us that it was going to happen, and that it would be a deception to disarm the West. In their joint efforts putting people first, Bill Clinton and Al Gore wrote that the United States should, quote, create a national examination system to measure our students' and schools' progress in meeting the national standards, end quote. The most important education initiative of the Clinton administration, ladies and gentlemen, has been Goals 2000, which is based upon 8 national education goals. The first of which demands that by the year 2000, all children in America will start school ready to learn. But how can the federal government be sure that all children will start school ready to learn unless there's massive government intervention in preschool home life? And what about my children who are homeschooled? National Education Goal number 3 sets forth that all students will be involved in activities that demonstrate community service. While voluntary service is to be commended, forced child labor by the government makes students the new indentured servants. And so it's not voluntary at all. They cannot graduate unless they do it. And the work is dictated to them. As in all things, socialists stay true to form. They are habitual chronic liars. For an excellent description, folks, of the problems with Goals 2000, get Kathy Finnegan's book called Goals 2000, Restructuring Our Schools, Restructuring Society. And you can order it through Hearthstone Publishing Company. Now, please do this. Okay, I don't know how much it costs. I have nothing to do with this book. I'm not selling you a book. What I'm trying to do is educate you about what's happening in your public schools. Get this book. It's called Goals 2000, Restructuring Our Schools, Restructuring Society, by Kathy Finnegan. It's published by Hearthstone Publishing Company, and you can call this number to get the book. It's 1-800-580-2604. That's 1-800-580-2604. I'm going to tell you again, I get nothing from this book. They don't even know I'm doing this. I just happen to know that this is the book you need to read. Now, concerning the first of the national education goals, that all children will start school ready to learn, the only way the federal government could be assured that this would occur would be to have increasing intervention in the lives of children at younger ages. But how could the feds justify early intervention in family life? Because that's what it's going to take. The chosen tactic, ladies and gentlemen, seem to be the new findings of brain research suggesting the need to avoid irreversible and detrimental changes in the brain's organization before the age of 3. An indication of how that research might be applied to push the Goals 2000 agenda was forthcoming at the National Education Goals Panel meeting held last year in 1997. The minutes from the NEGP meeting mentioned, and I quote, national content and performance standards, end quote. And Dr. Sharon Kagan talks about early childhood, quote, social and emotional development, end quote, needs, about how some child care workers were not credentialed, and about the need for, quote, an early care and education system, end quote. At that same meeting, actor Rob Reiner, a screaming, raving socialist, active in the Carnegie Corporation-backed early childhood public engagement campaign, stated, quote, there is a nexus between what happens at 0 to 3 and what happens in terms of crime, teen pregnancy, drug abuse, child abuse, end quote. And Dr. Bruce Perry added that if children didn't have certain positive experiences at that time, when the brain is organized, the results could be, quote, irreversible, end quote. So he advocated establishing an early childhood education system. And you can bet it will not be conducted by the parents. Note especially the word take, as Dr. Perry explains that, quote, in Florida, for example, they take crack babies right after birth and give them a whole variety of enrichment sensory experiences. But if you don't do that, you can also put them at further risk of being parented by someone who is really disinvested, you're doubly doomed, end quote. The government can protect its kids is the slogan. Now let me say this again for you. Listen very closely to this. Quote, the government can protect its kids, end quote. Not your children. Not the children of the parents. Listen to this again. Quote, the government can protect its kids, end quote. Words have meaning, and you had better pay attention to what the government says. Dr. Perry then recommended the engulfing of impaired family systems into larger, healthier systems. I don't now want to sound like a communist or anything, he said, but you know we have to think creatively about this. Direct quote. In fact, I'll go back and give you the quote. Quote, engulfing of impaired family systems into larger, healthier systems. I don't now want to sound like a communist or anything, but you know, we have to think creatively about this, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, a communist is exactly what he is. Former Food and Drug Administration Commissioner David Kessler commented on NBC Nightly News on August the 23rd, 1996, that, quote, the government can protect its kids, end quote. If the social engineers really believe children belong to government, why would they stop at crack parents? Perhaps they would next decide to take the children of fundamentalists who believe in corporal punishment, which social engineers seek to outlaw. Or someone who belongs to the Seventh-day Adventist Church, or devout Catholics, or the children of those people who actively belong to the militia, or just parents, whom they decide, don't have the proper education or ability to raise their children? And by whose standards, and who would make those decisions? And how would you feel when they come to take your children away? Now, don't think this can't happen, ladies and gentlemen. It's already happening all across the country. Psychologist John Roseman has cited Professor Richard Wexler's Wounded Innocence, in which Wexler discussed child saver zealots who desire an expansion of government power. Roseman commented, quote, "Implicit to all this liberal scheming is the belief, firmly held by many mental health professionals, that families are closed, pathological systems that must, in the best interest of the helpless child prisoners within, be made subject to state scrutiny, reorganization, and management," end quote. For an informative summary, folks, of how social engineers have been maneuvering to gain greater and greater control of children at earlier ages, read Peggy Shannon Jones Cuddy's booklet entitled, "Is Your Family Safe from the Graspers?" published by Pro Family Forum. You can get that book from 941-644-6218. That's 941-644-6218. Revealing one of their possible strategies, Colorado's Governor Roy Romer, speaking at the NEGP meeting, said this, quote, "The ideal system would be to, in every community or county, you have an organizational structure that is responsible for the 0-3 age level for the child. So the scheme would be pour the money in, admit that you can't fund it entirely from the public side, and then say to the committee, that's it for you to do. And then finally put in a hooker and say, hey, you don't get any payments from state on their highways until you do this job," end quote. You see how it works? You think you're getting something for nothing from the federal government? You pay, ladies and gentlemen, you pay in spades. Those of you out there who have any sense, you know that. Those of you sitting around waiting for the government to give you something for free haven't yet connected with reality. You're living in fantasy land. You're inside the gates of Disneyland, and the park is closed. Didn't you notice the rides aren't spinning around? The government has absolutely nothing that doesn't first come from you. Finally, Romer bemoaned the fact that, quote, "the American public has this ethic of local control," end quote, seeming to support national education standards and a national test. Governor John Engler of Michigan commented, quote, "I think we ought to take NAEP, that's the National Assessment of Educational Progress, essentially across the nation, to embed it in our state-level testing, because I see that testing is the benchmarking. And even though there is a local control ethic that Governor Romer just mentioned, it does seem to be that if we're doing the benchmarking right, we're going to pull everybody along," end quote. Governor Romer added, quote, "This country needs an institution that it can use to organize all the changes it needs, and I think the best crack at the institution, quite frankly, is ACHIEVE," end quote. Now, for those of you who don't know it, ACHIEVE is a non-governmental effort to measure and report each state's annual progress in assessment tools and accountability systems within 2 years. It was an outgrowth of the National Education Summit last March 1996, where business leaders committed to take into consideration the quality of each state's educational standards when making business location or expansion decisions. The six chief executive officers, known as CEOs, who were on the planning committee for the National Education Summit were all members of the Business Roundtable. Four of the six are on the Roundtable's Policy Committee, and the six CEOs who were members of the Roundtable and on the Summit's Planning Committee became members of the Board of Directors of ACHIEVE. One of the CEOs on ACHIEVE's board is the head of Boeing Aircraft Company. This is relevant, ladies and gentlemen, because there are discussions that an expanded National Assessment of Education Progress, or NAEP, will become the new national test that President Clinton has in mind. And most NAEP data is held on a mainframe computer at Boeing Computer Systems, with the rest residing at the National Institutes of Health. Since the tests have student IDs, there is a micro record available to the national computer system, the Montana State Attorney General, and others who have automatic access to the NAEP. Now, this organization, responsible for the questions asked on the NAEP, is the National Assessment Governing Board, which is appointed by the United States Secretary of Education. And some of the questions deal with attitudes, such as a reading question that asks students whether a person in a short story was deceptive or wise, or clever and practical, or greedy. What such a question will do, according to B.K. Ekman in Educating for the New World Order, is, quote, to indicate which values local parents are transmitting to their youngsters, and therefore what attitudes the community holds as a whole. Combined with other attitudinal passages and responses, which are interspersed among valid reading comprehension items, this question will help analysts to do a profile of the community. Such a profile, in turn, will help behaviorists craft an approach to, quote, planned change, end quote, that will be suited to this community, end quote. Let me read that quote to you properly, because I did it wrong. To indicate which values local parents are transmitting to their youngsters, and therefore what attitudes the community holds as a whole, combined with other attitudinal passages and responses, which are interspersed among valid reading comprehension items, this question will help analysts do a profile of the community. Such a profile, in turn, will help behaviorists craft an approach to planned change that will be suited to this community. End quote. See how they can spy on you through your children and you don't even know what's happening? Speaking last before the chairman concluded the NEGP meeting, United States Secretary of Education Richard Riley stated, quote, I don't think we should have different levels of standards for children in America, end quote, and advocated not only national but international standards. Finally, in the United States Department of Education's community update, March 1997, one finds this troubling oxymoron, quote, the new voluntary national tests would be taken by all students in participating districts, end quote. Another one of those socialist lies. The new voluntary national tests would be taken by all students in participating districts, meaning it's not voluntary at all. In President Clinton's February 4, 1997 State of the Union speech, he called for national education standards and said, quote, every state and school must shape the curriculum to reflect these standards, end quote. In that regard, he indicated the federal government would assist in the development of national tests in reading at the fourth grade level and in math at the eighth grade level. Anyone knowledgeable about education knows that standards and tests drive what's in curricula. Therefore, if the federal government causes to be developed a national criterion reference test, it will result in a national curriculum. You can count on it. You can take it to the bank. You can say William Cooper told you so. This, in effect, was admitted by Clinton's Deputy Education Secretary Marshall Smith in the Wall Street Journal, dated February 6, 1997, when he said, quote, for students to do well in the national test, curriculum and instruction would have to change, end quote. You all wonder how I know things. I receive mountains of information here every day, every single day. and I go through it, and I analyze it, and I put it together, and then I can look at the big picture and see what's happening. When questions about the national standards arose in 1994, Ernest Boyer, the president of the Carnegie Foundation of the Advancement of Teaching and former U.S. Commissioner of Education under President Carter, explained the successful, quote, stealth, end quote, strategy of the national standards movement. Stealth means sneak up on you, lie to you, implement it without your knowledge or permission. Here's what he said, quote, if I had ever whispered national standards, I think I would have lost my job. We bent over backwards 15 years ago so that no one would think we were interfering. Within a decade, we have gone from this preoccupation of local control to national standards. There is no turning back, end quote. That's from the New York Times, March 30th, 1994, in case you want to check it. And I always advise you, you know it, listen to everyone, read everything, believe absolutely nothing unless you can prove it in your own research. That's why I give you sources and documentation, so that you don't have to take my word for anything. However, folks, the reaction to this, even among some prominent liberals like Kenneth Goodman, past president of the International Reading Association, has been to question national standards. After Ernest Boyer made the statement that I just quoted, Goodman wrote a column in which he pronounced, quote, I accuse the politicians and technicians of the standards movement of using standards as a cover for a well-orchestrated attempt to centralize power and thus control who will teach, who will learn, what will be taught in the nation's schools, and who will determine the curriculum for schools and for teacher education. The standards movement promises the political power brokers, ladies and gentlemen, that by controlling outcomes, they can control schools while appearing to support local control. Be very, very careful. That's from Education Week, September 7th, 1994. You see, nothing's hidden. It's all out in the open. You just don't have access to the information like I do. And that's why we have this broadcast. This kind of duplicitous strategy of paying lip service to local control while actively undermining it was even admitted to by national standards advocate Dr. Richard Elmore at a National Education Goals Panel, NEGP, meeting earlier this year. Elmore stated, quote, once you start to be able to collect data on individual schools and benchmark performance and content from the state level against state, national, and international standards, you break the traditional grip of the local administrators and boards, whether you want to or not. I mean, you're going to do this saying all along the way, we're in favor of local control, etc. The accountability is going to go straight from the state to the school once that starts to happen, end quote. You see how sneaky they are? You see what liars they are? They plan to deceive you, and they do it every day. Ernest Boyer is now deceased. He had been head of the Carnegie Foundation for the Advancement of Teaching. Even cursory research, folks, reveals that various tax-exempt Carnegie entities are heavily involved in today's educational restructuring. For example, the chairman of the National Test Panel developing the National Test to which President Clinton referred is Wilmer Cody, who is also on the governing board of the New Standards Project, a creation of Carnegie's National Center on Education and the Economy. Another member of the National Test Panel is Eddie Davis with the National Education Association, who is also a member of the Carnegie-created National Board for Professional Teaching Standards. Among those who are opposing the movement toward national education standards is Congressman William Goodley, who on August 1, 1997, along with 22 co-sponsors, introduced House Resolution 214. This bill seeks to mandate, quote, that the Department of Education should suspend any and all planning, development, implementation, or administration of any national testing proposal in reading, mathematics, or any other subject area until Congress provides specific, explicit, this bill seeks to mandate, quote, that the Department of Education should suspend any and all planning, development, implementation, or administration of any national testing proposal in reading, mathematics, or any other subject area until Congress provides specific, explicit, statutory authority, end quote. The resolution was offered as an amendment to House Bill 2264, an education appropriations bill. Never mind the fact, ladies and gentlemen, that the federal government does not have the authority granted by the Constitution to mandate that your schools or your school districts do anything whatsoever. You know how they get you to do it? They dangle money in front of your nose, and you think money is the answer. If money is the answer, why is it, ladies and gentlemen, that when our children went to little one-room red schoolhouses in the pioneer days of this country, where the teacher was paid room and board and a very, very small stipend for personal needs, and grades 1 through 8 all sat in the same room and were taught concurrently, why is it that those children knew more, were smarter and better educated than the children who graduate from a modern high school today? Why is it that every one of those children could read on what today would be considered a fourth-year college level? Why is it that every one of those children excelled in mathematics? Why is it that every one of those children knew the true and correct history of this country and of the world? Can any of you answer those questions? Just recently, I attended a meeting at the Round Valley High School where the teenage Republicans brought in one of our Arizona senators. And during that meeting, when the senator finished his talk, he opened the floor to questions. One of the school faculty, I don't know if it was a teacher or one of the administrative staff, in the back raised his hand, wanted to know when they were going to get more money so that they could raise the standing of the tests of the students of the state of Arizona. Now, I was sitting in the front row, and I couldn't see who it was, ladies and gentlemen. But I'll tell you right now, whoever it was had the wrong idea about children and what they learn and how they learn it. In the Round Valley, we have one of the best high school buildings and schools that you can imagine. I mean, it's really beautiful. It's modern. It's up to date with just about anything that you can compare it with. Now, I don't know whether it is on the cutting edge of technology. I don't know if they have a computer so that every student can plug into the internet. And quite frankly, don't care. Because plugging into the internet has absolutely nothing to do with whether those students learn what they need to learn to be successful in life. Among those Chester Finn, the former Assistant Secretary of the Department of Education's Office of Educational Research and Improvement, OERI, criticized the Clinton administration's proposed national tests, saying they, quote, will be creatures of the education establishment, end quote. The Weekly Standard, July 21st, 1997. The education establishment, ladies and gentlemen, seems to be in fact, I can tell you, it absolutely is, in the business of social engineering and maintaining itself. In other words, creating more and more reasons why more and more agencies of state and federal government should pump money into their pockets. former head of the National Endowment for the Humanities, Lynn Cheney, in the Wall Street Journal on April 2, 1997, also noted that the National Council of Teachers of English, powerful advocates of the faulty whole language method of reading instruction over phonics, would be, quote, sure to have influence in the development of a reading test, end quote. Whole word reading is a dismal, abject, total, and complete failure. Any child can learn to read when taught with phonics. Many children have great difficulty learning to read when taught with the whole word concept. Similarly, she noted the probable influence of the National Council of Teachers of Mathematics, NCTM, in developing a math test. The NCTM emphasizes what one might call, quote, whole math, end quote, and has criticized, quote, a long-standing preoccupation with computation and other traditional skills, end quote. Now, if you don't believe that, get with a math teacher and ask if you can just sit in on the class, and you'll be amazed at what you're going to see. Children do not learn today how to do the actual computation or the actual procedures of figuring out a mathematical problem and arriving at the answer. All students in the classrooms that I have attended, and I have attended many of them, use calculators. Not long ago, someone came up. We live up on top of a hill, folks. Someone came up and parked their car, was rooting around in the lot next door. Well, being the curious person that I am and having received many threats because of this broadcast, I went out to see who they were and what they were doing. Well, it turned out that they were innocent enough. They were just there looking over their property. The lot belonged to them. And when he introduced himself, he told me that he was a school teacher down in the Valley of the Sun, down in Phoenix. And so we got into a conversation, and I asked him about the use of calculators in his and other math classes. And he said that he didn't care how a student arrived at the correct answer as long as the student arrived at the correct answer. And I asked him, you mean that you really don't care if a student learns how to actually do the problem versus punching keys in a calculator? He says, no, I don't. That doesn't enter into the equation, was his exact words. I didn't get into any kind of argument or confrontation with him over that, because it would have been absolutely futile to do so. And so I'm sure that until he retires, he and many other math teachers are teaching children how to punch keys in a calculator. And if they ever find themselves in a position without a calculator where they have to complete any kind, and it doesn't even have to be a complicated math problem, ladies and gentlemen, they're not going to be able to do it. And I think that's the whole purpose of this kind of stuff in the first place. America is being dumbed down. Dumbed down. To many of us Americans, one of the most strikingly negative features of communist society is the fact that the communist citizen has his or her career chosen at an early age by the state according to its perceived needs. Now, in the 1990s America, the Clinton administration and federal and state legislators are teaming up to foist on American students a system with the potential for a similar draconian micromanaged society. If these social engineers have their way, free choices in career selection and access to the job market are going to be increasingly restricted according to the whim and dubious wisdom of the state. At an early age, students will be tested, and whatever the state decides their capability or their talents lie, they will be channeled into various occupations. Your child, although he or she may wish to become a medical doctor, may find themselves working in a garage as a mechanic for the rest of their life. To the current controversy over national education standards, the Clinton administration has added a second major education restructuring initiative known as School to Work, or STW. The best way to understand STW and why it has created a national outcry among traditional educators and parents is to examine its background. Plank 10 of Karl Marx's Communist Manifesto provides for a, quote, combination of education with industrial production, end quote. In 1948, a United States House of Representatives committee published 100 Things You Should Know About Communism and Education, which describes what the masterminds of communism have planned for your child in the name of education. He will be trained but not educated. He will be taught to solve problems that are handed to him. People are trained when they learn how to do a particular thing well and can be depended upon to do it, end quote. The next year, 1949, the communists took control of China. And regarding the years 1950 to 1960, Stuart Fraser compiled and edited Chinese communist education records of the first decade, in which one finds, quote, education must be combined with productive labor, end quote, by Liu Tingyi, who stated, and I quote, now this combination of schooling with productive labor has given rise to the campaign to reform school curricula and the efforts to change school systems. Our education is socialist education. Education must serve politics, must be combined with productive labor. The purpose of the training is unified, that is, to train socialist-minded educated workers, end quote. Theodore Chin in Communist China, 1949-1969, explained, quote, the primary concern of education is not the acquisition of knowledge, but the remolding of behavior, attitudes, emotions, and thoughts, end quote. In 1960, back in the United States of America, the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare published Soviet Education Programs, in 1960, in which the author stated, quote, wherever we went, we felt the pulse of the Soviet government's drive to educate and train a new generation of technically skilled citizens. The USSR plans to bring all secondary school children into labor education and training experiences through the regular school program, end quote. Are our children human beings, ladies and gentlemen? Our human capital. The 1960s were a time of turmoil in the United States. Radical students became members of organizations such as the Students for a Democratic Society, SDS, and in James Simon Coonan's The Strawberry Statement, 1968, he recounts an SDS strategy meeting in which a student gave a report about an SDS convention the student had recently attended. And the report revealed that, and I quote, men from business international roundtables tried to buy up a few radicals. These men are the world's industrialists, and they convene to decide how our lives are going to go. They're the left wing of the ruling class. They offered to finance our demonstrations in Chicago. We were also offered ESSO, which is Rockefeller money. The acronym ESSO is derived from Standard Oil Company. They want us to make a lot of radical commotion so they can look more in the center as they move more to the left, end quote. Now, at first, this seems strange. Why in the world would leading business people want radical commotion and a move to the left? Don't they want economic stability? Well, folks, not if they want to move the consciousness of the people away from nationalism and toward internationalism for a global economy, and not if they are coming to consider human beings as mere, quote, human capital, end quote. In fact, by 1970, Americans were coming to be thought of as human capital by leading intellectuals like Lester Thurow, whose 1970 book entitled The New Socialist Revolution proclaimed, quote, education will be radically transformed in our socialist community. The main emphasis will be on learning how to live and work collectively. The next level is learning some series of skills for one's first set of jobs, end quote. Vladimir Turchenko's The Scientific and Technological Revolution and the Revolution in Education, published in 1976, stresses the need for, quote, linking instruction with productive labor, end quote. Can't happen in America? I beg your pardon. It already is happening in America and has been happening for many years. You see, this is the essence of school to work. The student is only educated to the extent that his future employer requires, which is the way labor and education have been linked in communist countries for decades. For those experiencing difficulty with the idea of leading capitalists supporting leftist labor and educational initiatives, remember, folks, that to the men at the top, there's very little difference between monopoly capitalism, communism, and fascism. In fact, in all three, competition is absent and top-down control is maximized. In the May 1997 edition of The Christian Conscience, Dr. Cuddy cited the words of well-known capitalist David Rockefeller, who wrote, quote, from a China traveler, end quote, which appeared in the August 10, 1973 edition of the New York Times. He said, and I quote, "One is impressed immediately by the sense of national harmony. There's a very real and pervasive dedication to Chairman Mao and Maoist principles. Whatever the price of the Chinese Revolution, it has obviously succeeded not only in producing more efficient and dedicated administration, but also in fostering high morale and community of purpose. General social and economic progress is no less impressive. The enormous social advances of China have benefited greatly from the singleness of ideology and purpose. The social experiment in China, under Chairman Mao's leadership, is one of the most important and successful in history," end quote. 24 years later, David Rockefeller remains one of the prime supporters of the same murderous communist Chinese regime, which at the time he wrote those words was just completing the termination of 7.3 million units of surplus human capital in Chairman Mao's glorious Cultural Revolution. The source for that is Death by Government by Professor R.J. Rummel. You can find it on page 100. In the early 1980s, ladies and gentlemen, neither the Soviet nor German socialist education systems had been adopted nationwide in the United States. As Professor Eugene Boyce in The Coming Revolution in Education, 1983, wrote, quote, "In the communist ideology, education is tied directly to jobs. No such direct controlled relationship between education and jobs exists in democratic countries," end quote. However, in 1985, two things happened. At the beginning of the year, the Carnegie Corporation gave $600,000 to establish the Carnegie Forum on Education and the Economy. And later that year, the Carnegie Corporation negotiated the Soviet-American Exchange Agreement for the United States government, whereby Soviet educators became involved in planning curricula of some United States schools. In the winter 1987-1988 edition of Action in Teacher Education, professors Martin Haberman and James Collins wrote in, quote, The Future of the Teaching Profession, unquote, that, quote, schooling is now seen primarily as job training, and for this reason, quite comparable to schooling in non-democratic societies. Once education is redefined as a personal good and as emphasizing preparation for the world of work as its first purpose, our schools can appropriately be compared with those of the USSR, end quote. Also, in 1988, the Carnegie Forum became the National Center on Education and the Economy, NCEE, with Mark Tucker as president. And the next year, 1989, was asked to help in developing the national education goals upon which America 2000 and later Goals 2000 would be based. In the spring of 1990, NCEE formed the National Alliance for Restructuring Education with its hallmark, the Certificate of Initial Mastery, or the CIM, without which workers, quote, will be condemned to dead-end jobs that leave them in poverty even if they are working, end quote, according to NCCE's America's Choice, High Skills Are Low Wages. Are you beginning to understand the message of this broadcast? I certainly hope so. If you love your children, you had better. Anticipating, there may be some difficulties in gaining public support for this restructuring. The National Alliance had the Industrial Areas Foundation produce a concept paper engaging the public, one way to organize. The IAF was founded by radical Saul Alinsky, admired by Hillary Clinton, who included an acknowledgement to Lucifer at the front of his book, Rules for Radicals, admitting that he is a worshiper of Satan. Relevant to STW, the IAF concept paper states that, quote, schools face the challenges of preparing students for a labor market in an economy that is increasingly global in nature and requires of its workers the ability to be lifelong learners, end quote. Remember several years ago when I told you that the goal of the New World Order is to be able to control you from the day you're born until the day you die, and that the implemented organization for this control will be community mental health centers and schools that eventually will be combined into one organization. And people will literally go to school from birth to grave. But your education will be channeled in the interest of the state and big business, not in your interests whatsoever. The concept paper goes on, ladies and gentlemen, to describe how trained facilitators known as, quote, change agents, end quote, can apply a gradual process to push for a consensus around desired outcomes. Furthermore, there are training sessions in which parents and community members gain an understanding of where they fit within the system. In the process, parental interaction with the school begins to change parents' attitudes, change from being distrustful to being supportive, end quote. You see, I was right. I don't like being right. So America's Skills and America's Choice and America's Wages and America's Children and America's Parents all fit into this. And we're going to continue this tomorrow. A great portion of the research conducted for today's broadcast was done by Dennis Cuddy, Ph.D. and taken from Relevance Magazine, Volume 4, Number 11. We will continue this in tomorrow's episode of The Hour of the Time. Don't miss it, folks. If you love your children, you cannot miss these broadcasts. You must know what they intend to do with the minds of your children and ultimately with the minds of the parents and the community through your children. Good night, and God bless each and every single one of you.
all of a sudden, in the middle of the night, there's a loud knock on your door. Hey, honey. Something's not right.
Throw out your arms. It's the Wild West. We're here from the government. We're here to help you.
And I'm from the IRS with a power to tax. Did you got a complaint? That is a fact.
Get out of this house. Search your guns. Give me your code. You better obey if you want to come home. That's the good stuff I can do for your toe.
Hillary Salala, Reno Janet Dyke, reading the words of General Albert Pike, demonic founder of the Ku Klux Klan, engineer of the Masonic Master Plan. Pike said Lucifer is God across this land, and Clinton saying take the mark in your right hand. While we're all dancing to the drums of uproar, right? Clinton's preparing us for another huge tax hike. Order out of chaos, depression, inflation, create the panic and rape the nation. Crisis creation. Incite black and white, program agitation.
Don't resist! You're surrounded! Are the UN in white and gray? The ATM committed blacks of the One World Order!
But it's not new! Iron Mountain, computer beast, and cattle mutilations. Black projects, UFOs, and weird genetic combinations. The Nazi doctors didn't die. Come on, get here. They came here with the OSS through Operation Paperclip. National ID, debit card? Yeah. Vaccination biochip, milk carton kit, genetic engineering. Clinton says her health plans for you and your own good. Sure. And Adolf Hitler's Robin Hood.
For who?
Masonic mind manipulation, inciting riots, it's crisis creation. Biochip implantation, vaccinate your kid for UN identification.
This is a test for all of us. So I have today just one simple request. A comprehensive package of health care benefits that are always there and can never be taken away. Never be taken away.
Atmospheric, social illusion, media hype, plan confusion,
Masonic religion, it's a liar. Got you praying for a Luciferian Messiah.
The Illuminati thinks that they're enlightened, that they're to be the gods to Earth, born of incest from the sons of Satan and their sisters in satanic birth. Hidden agenda, Kissinger, Nixon, Ford, and Bill, while your kids out back smoking crack for some cheap thrill. They numbed us down and dumbed us down with fluoride TV drugs, the NEA, and public schools. They taking your brightest and our best and made them public fools. With managed media, brain-bending lies and stealth, the bankers stole your wealth. Johnson, Bush, Carter, Reagan, Gore, and Dan, they've all been pushing pipes, Masonic master plan. Rhodes Scholar oration. Clinton speaks, then rapes the nation. Luciferian subjugation. New World Order. Illuminati coronation.
You're listening to 101.1 FM Eager. Classic radio, like you always wished it could be. Be sure and tune in tomorrow at the same time for the Hour of the Time with yours truly, William Cooper.